Now, I want to read just a couple of verses to you, and then I want to speak to you for a little while, and then make you an offer. This is what the Bible says. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, I want to speak to you for just a few moments, but I do need your undivided attention. So if you've got little ones with you or a little bit restless, perhaps you could just slip out to the door with some fresh air and quieten them down so that it doesn't disturb others who are around about. Because I believe that for some of you here this morning, what I've got to say may spell the difference between eternal life and eternal death. So will you listen to me? First of all, we want to ask for God's help. Let's pray together. Our Father, we now come in Jesus' name, and we come to ask that you will be with us in a very special way today. We pray that you will give us listening ears, and we ask that our hearts may be touched for Jesus' sake. Amen. The whole point of the little presentation that you saw by the children was to impress upon you the need to give yourself to Jesus. And at Christmas time, like all of us, you probably have given gifts and you probably received gifts, and that's where the emphasis seems to lie. And what the children were trying to say to you was that the whole point of the season is that you should take the opportunity of committing your entire life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to speak to you about for just a few minutes this morning is the subject of the difficulty of giving yourself to Jesus. If you've been coming to this church for any while at all, or if you've been in the company of Christians or going to a church where the gospel is preached, then you will know that the emphasis is always on surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, on giving your life to Christ, on committing yourself to him, on receiving Jesus as your Savior. And you've heard phrases like that perhaps for a long time. Now, there are many people who have no concern whatever about their souls. They don't seem to have any interest at all in their spiritual welfare. Last night at the midnight service, I was describing it as people who are dead, because that's the way the Bible describes us. We are dead, and we cannot hear, we cannot see, we cannot feel spiritually, and that is why some people will come to a service like this, and while others may be greatly moved, they'll say, well, there was nothing in it for me. I didn't feel anything. Well, it was very nice music and all that, but I didn't really feel anything in my heart. Now, if that's the way you are, then I want to explain to you why you are like that. It's because you are dead. Spiritually, you are dead. You cannot see, you cannot understand, you cannot feel, you cannot respond spiritually because you are dead. And that's why there is no more concern in your heart for your soul than some people have for the man next door or across the street on the other side of town. In fact, some people are more concerned about their dogs and their cats than they are about their own souls. And what we want to impress upon you this Christmas morning, dear friends, is that there is no greater concern that you could have in this whole wide world than to have concern about your soul. And if you've come in as a guest this morning, perhaps you've never been to our church before, and some relative or friend or family members invited you to the service, then I must tell you something, that if you have no concern for your soul, then that is the very worst judgment that can befall you in this world. All sorts of other things can befall you in this world, but you have no concern for your soul, no conscience before God, no feeling that you're going to stand before him one day to give an account of yourself is the very worst curse and judgment that can fall upon us. Feelings of concern about our soul is a sign of blessing, and it's a sign that God is offering salvation to us. Now, there are many people who come to services like this, and they come right to the point of doing something about Jesus, and then they go away again. And I know year through the year, we've had people who've come to our services and they've told us, you know, I have wanted to go into the chapel and I've wanted to receive some literature. I've wanted to talk to somebody. I've been so moved and I've been wanting to do it for a long time, but I've never actually got around to doing it. I wonder if you like that. Perhaps you're a father or man and you're feeling just a little bit awkward and shy about things like that. Or perhaps you've been coming along and you're just too shy to really make that final break with the world and take that final step with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's to people like yourself that I want to specially speak this morning. I want to say something to you and hope that God's going to use it to bring you right to the cross of the Lord Jesus and there to find eternal life. I want to speak to people who are right at the door, but they never seem to enter in. Now, we all know that God is the one who's got to open the door and call you in, but you've got to make a response. And it's that response that I want to get you to make this morning with God's help. Now, let me tell you what I think some of the difficulties are when people consider giving their lives to Christ. First of all, some people face the difficulty of having the feelings of guilt and unworthiness piled upon them. Some people think they're just not worthy enough for God, and that God will never really accept them. God can accept other people because they're not so bad, but not me, because God knows what I've done in my life and He knows the mistakes I've made, and I'm just too bad and I'm just too wayward and I'm just too undisciplined and God can't really accept me. Some people feel like David. You know, King David sinned terribly against God. He knew better and he took another man's wife and he committed murder so he could keep the whole thing secret. But you know, it sat in his heart. And there came a time when David couldn't hold it in any longer. And this is what he said. He said, "My sin is ever before me." And that's the way some people feel. They feel that their sins are ever before them. And they feel they can never, ever get to the point where God can accept them because they are just too unworthy. But I want to remind you that the good news of the gospel is for everybody. And that doesn't matter to God how bad you are or how good you are. If you do not know Jesus, then you are in need. You are in need. And the gospel that saves the good people is the gospel that saves the bad people. And the gospel that saves the bad people is the same gospel that saves the good people. Feelings of unworthiness are quite understandable when God is beginning to work in your heart and in your life. But I want to warn you that you should not let your feelings of unworthiness become an excuse. Because feelings of unworthiness can become an excuse. And people can say, "Well, you know, I haven't given my life to Christ because I am too unworthy." And that becomes a cop-out. I want to tell you that there's no greater honor that you can pay to the Savior than to take the very worst, the most crimson sins you've ever committed and come and lay it at His feet and say, "I believe your word when you tell me that you'll forgive my sins." So feelings of guilt and feelings of unworthiness may have been something that may have been a difficulty for you, but it needn't be a difficulty any longer. And then another reason that I believe people find it difficult to come to Christ is because of feelings of fear and uncertainty. They're not too sure what's going to happen to them. They feel that somehow becoming a Christian is a very great emotional experience and is going to bring a great emotional turmoil and tumult into their lives. And they say, "Well, what's going to happen if I become a Christian? What happens to me if I ask Christ into my life? What's going to actually happen to me at that moment when I receive Christ?" And then they say to themselves, "Well, if I do become a Christian, what am I going to lose? What about my friends? And what about those things that I do and the circles in which I move? What about the boyfriend? What about the girlfriend? What about my husband? What about my wife? What will they say if I commit my life to Christ?" Well, you see, the real problem here, dear friends, is that many people love the world more than they love their own souls. And so because they love the world more than they love their own souls, they hang on to as much of the world as they can. And a terrible fear comes upon them that they're going to lose the really valuable things if they become Christians. And what they don't understand is that when you become a Christian, you lose the worthless things and you gain the valuable thing. "What shall it profit a man," asked Jesus on one occasion, "if he shall gain the whole world?" The whole world. Just imagine that. If he gained the whole world and lost his own soul. What will it profit you if you gained the friendship of all the important people in the world? If you knew all the film stars by name and all the singing stars by name? What will it profit you if you owned all the property in Bishop's Court? If you owned all the beaches in South Africa? What would it profit you if you had shares in all the gold mines in the country? What would it profit you if you had all that power and wealth and yet you came to lose your own soul? What would it profit you? Where do the really valuable things lie? That's the great question. So I want to say to you that while feelings of fear and uncertainty may have been a difficulty in the past, it needn't be a difficulty today. The Lord Jesus, about whom the children have been singing, is the same Lord Jesus who invites you this Christmas morning to come and give your heart and your life to Him, to come with your unworthiness, to come with your sin and your failure, to come with your fears and with your uncertainty and with all of your doubts, and to come to Him. But there's another reason why I believe some people find it difficult to give their lives to Christ, and it's pride. Pride. Do you know how many people sit in our churches and in our services through the months? They come and they go, and they are absolutely convinced that everything we say is right. Do you know that? They are convinced that what we say is right. They don't have a single argument with what we are saying. They agree with us theologically, they agree with us philosophically, they agree with us intellectually, they agree with everything that we say. But they don't actually make the move, and they won't give their lives to Christ because they're too proud. They're too proud to be seen to admit that they need a Savior. They're too proud to be seen to admit that they themselves are sinners. They're too proud to be seen to admit that they've never been Christians before in their lives. Because you see, they've built up a certain reputation and a certain image, and now when they become a Christian, they've got to sort of give all that up, you see. They've got to really say to folks, well, you know, I've been wrong all this time. And they're too proud to say, look, folks, I have been wrong. I've made mistakes, but now I've found the truth. Well, my dear friends, I want to tell you that your pride is not worth hanging on to. Pride turns to arrogance and rebellion. And I want to tell you that if you allow your pride to dominate you, soon it will drive you to a point of such arrogance and rebellion that you will never turn to Christ. So what you need to do is take your pride and put it on the side and say, Lord Jesus, I'm no longer going to hang on to my silly pride and the silly images I've built up about myself. I am coming to you as a lost sinner, as every person in this world has ever come to you has come to you. Way I'm coming to you, and I'm laying aside my pride and all the things I think about myself, and I'm asking you for personal salvation. And then there's one final difficulty I want to mention, why some people find it difficult to come to Christ, and that's because they have no real sense of need. Here you are, you're sitting in a service like this morning, right? And you may have lived with Christian parents, or you may have lived with a Christian brother or sister or relatives, or perhaps you've shared a flat with Christian friends. And you've looked at their lifestyle and you've said, gosh, I don't need that. I don't want that in my life. I don't need any crutches. And I'm doing quite well for myself, thank you. And maybe you've been in the unfortunate position where you have had an example of Christianity portrayed before you, which has really not been a true reflection of the real thing. And so instead of the joy and the freedom and the liberty that the Lord Jesus brings, you may have had all kinds of pressure brought upon you that has totally switched you off. And so as you sit in the audience this morning, you're saying to yourself, I don't need that. I do believe in God in my own way, but I don't need that kind of religion and that kind of lifestyle. And you may have a completely cockeyed view of what the Christian lifestyle is all about, because the example that you've been exposed to has been a wrong example. And here you are, you're sitting here this morning, and you may have no real sense of your own need. You say to yourself, well, it's all nice, and I do believe in God in my own way. But I don't feel that I'm a sinner like that. And I don't feel that I need to be redeemed like some of these people feel to be need to be redeemed. Well, I want to tell you that maybe you have had wrong examples. And maybe you've had some kind of exposure to something that's been unfortunate. But whether you feel your need or not, you are in need. There's many a man, many a woman who has died of cancer. Do you know why? Because they only became conscious of the disease too late for the doctors to do anything about it. They had it all the time, but they weren't aware of their need. And you, my dear friend, may be sitting in this audience tonight, and you may be saying to yourself, well, I don't feel that I've got any need. Now, whether you feel it or not, God's word says you have a need. You do not have eternal life until you've come to Christ. And if you will not come to Christ, you will not receive life. That's your need. And so I want to say to you today that these difficulties should all be pushed aside. And I want to remind you that that babe in Bethlehem became the Christ of the cross. That little one who was suckled at Mary's bosom became the Savior who cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he became our substitute, as he met the justice of God head on in our place, and as he made an atonement with his blood. I want to remind you that the babe of Bethlehem is the same Savior who rose on Easter morning, rolled the stone away, and overcame sin and darkness and death and Satan. And that same Savior is here in this church today. And hundreds of you here today would stand up if I asked you to and testify to what he's done in your life. How he's brought your homes together, your marriages and your lives together, and saved you and forgiven you and brought you peace and brought you pardon. But there are some of you here today who have no such testimony. But that Savior is here today. And as his spokesman, as his ambassador, My job this morning as I close the service is to invite you to come to him this Christmas morning. He wants you to give him your life. And he will give you new life. What a bargain for Christmas Day. And it's for each and every one. I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care what your bank balance is. I don't care what your educational standard is. I don't care where you come from in the world. I don't care what your personal pedigree is. I don't care how bad you've been or how good you've been. My master tells me to invite you to come to him this morning, and he will give you life. Now, I've given you the invitation. Now I must ask you, will you accept it? Will you come? And if in your heart you're saying, oh, I want to come, but I don't know how, I'm going to suggest two things to you. The first is, in just a moment, we're going to close with prayer. And I am going to give you a moment in prayer to reach out to him in your own way. Right there in the pew. You don't have to go anywhere for Jesus. He's right there next to you in the pew. And I'm going to ask you to reach out to him there. And the second thing is, I'm going to ask you to take up an offer that we're going to make to you. Will you bow with me in prayer? Well, here we are, the end of the Christmas morning service. And now the choice is yours to either go through another Christmas day with just the vaguest of understandings of what it's all about, or to reach out to a Savior who has had no part in your life up until now, and to say, Lord Jesus, even though I don't understand how it all works, I'm reaching out to you now, and I want you. If that's the way you feel, then will you do that? Right now, quietly, you do it. Say to him, Lord Jesus, here I am, full of confusion, bewildered, guilty, lost. I need you so much. And as best as I understand, I'm reaching out to you now. Have you done that? Now let's close with prayer. Now we bring our service to a close. Thank you, Father, for being with us again today, for sparing us all for another year, and for giving us yet another opportunity of not only hearing the gospel, but doing something about it. I pray that you will grant to those in our audience this morning who are lost and bewildered and confused, and don't really understand what the Christmas message is all about, you will do something so special in their hearts today that they will never be the same again. And as we part, I pray that we may be able to take something of the presence of the Lord Jesus back into our homes with us. Will you grant us peace in our homes today and happiness and a constant awareness of what this day is all about? Help us to carry something of the savor of Christ back into our families. And now may the peace of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the help of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, now and forever. Amen.